Okay, 6 o'clock. Let's call the meeting of the Town of Charlestown Planning and Zoning Commission to order for May 4th, 2023. There is no old business, but we do have two sets of minute meetings to review and approve. And if everybody's had a chance to read the March and April meetings, they're just slight edits to them, nothing of consequence.
I didn't read them.
They should have come to your email.
Well, that's in the car. I left my phone at home. So I didn't want anybody to call me during this most important meeting.
I'll put them for you. Oh, you know, I better put my volume down.
Well, while we're doing that, I see we have a member from the public. Is that Kimberly Dickerson? Is that?
Hi, everyone. Yes, I'm actually calling you all the way from Arizona. Just excited to see how you guys run the town and to get some more information. So thanks for having me.
Okay, not a problem. I see you have an application in front of us. And what we normally do as a courtesy to the citizens is as soon as we get done our housekeeping issues here, we normally take your application first. If you would like, you're invited to stay for the entirety of the meeting. But if you would like to just hear your application being discussed and want to leave, that's fine, and we can make you first. It's up to you.
Understood. No, that sounds good if you guys don't mind, and then I'll get out of your hair. Thank you.
Okay, but you're free to stay. Hello, David. I see you're on there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm on here. How are you doing? David Dalton, from Maryland Department of Planning.
And thank you for all your work. As you probably heard from Brian, we finally actualized all that work we did for those 2 years and have a updated planning and zoning code.
I saw that. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Now we want to change it again.
Okay. Is there anybody else online from the public? It doesn't look so. Okay. So we're going to do 2350 first. Okay. All right.
Kimberly, I didn't realize you were all the way from Arizona.
Yes, sir. We are in transition. So my husband's in Maryland already, and I'll be following along with our kiddo once he finishes up the seventh grade school year.
Love it. That's permanent. And I did get an updated plot plan.
Unless Brian brings up that it's in the forest conservation area or something on the plot plan. Okay.
Kimberly, I don't remember seeing it on the application. How tall are you proposing the fence?
Ooh, I don't have that in front of me. I can definitely get you the information. We have a neighbor that has a fence up already, and we were just going to mimic what they have. I'm bad at estimates, so I know it's taller than me, but I'm only 5 feet tall.
Okay. The max allowable in town is 6 feet. Since you're a corner lot, the maximum allowed in the front yard is 3 feet. I saw that you had on the application that you intend to be at least 6 inches in from the property lines.
Correct.
What type of fence does your neighbor have?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Kimberly, at least the photo that you had sent me, you were looking to do white vinyl privacy style fence?
Correct. Yes.
So you're not adjoining to the neighbor's fence. It'll be separate.
Correct.
Did you say it was 6 foot or 5 foot?
Sounds like she'll have to verify the height.
Yeah, because privacy fences are usually
3 feet in the front.
Yes. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
So before we just tidy up the minutes for March and April, I have a motion to approve the March 9th minutes. Yep. Okay, second. Tom. And all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
For the April 6th minutes, a motion and a second. I count on the same parties.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The business now in front of us is 2350. It's a fence on Steamboat Court.
Yep, 122 Steamboat. It's a corner lot. Like I said, the seems to me this one, if the board would like to approve with the condition that we just verify, you know, modify the plot plan to meet our height standards.
Okay.
Three feet in the front and six in the back?
Yeah.
Sides and back?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
I would move to approve that.
Okay, that's your motion. I'll second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ruth? Kimberly, we thank you for your patience.
Wonderful. Thank you all so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Safe good luck driving. With the move.
Okay. Are there any other members of the public out there who have business before us this evening?
Looks like Joe's with us this evening. Joe, I'm asking you to unmute. Do you have anything on the agenda this evening?
Joe should be 2343.
No, he's virtually there anyhow. Okay.
Yeah. And he's next up anyway.
Okay, good. Let's handle the tree removals. Yeah. I don't know, like five or six of those. And we're free to assume that you've told people about replacement of trees.
Yep.
Okay. Should be no other issue on that. All right.
They're all okay.
Right.
We don't need to make a motion. Yep. Okay.
We just want to verify that there's new trees to be planted.
I was told by Audrey that her tree was falling. I said, really? That cuts time down a little bit here.
All right.
Two other permits on here. 2346 for interior renovations.
That one gives me a little
problem. About it.
Well, I question why you even need a permit to do interior renovation. There's my question.
I think I know the answer. And it has to do that if you're in your work on your renovations, you're going to do electrical work or utility work or structural work, you need a county permit. To get the county permit, you need to go there armed with approval from the town of Charlestown for them to begin the process.
Put on the kitchen table.
That's why we basically make it a just
if it's involving change of plumbing or electrical
We normally do it here as pro forma so they can go to the county.
Right.
Okay.
Because I just did interior renovations and I did not get a permit.
Plans to us?
Usually not.
Not. Okay. Draw.
Okay.
Put in a shower in the same spot that the tub was in.
Same day.
So, and in this particular property's case, it's located in a floodplain. And similar to our fire sprinkler system ordinance, if the cost of the project exceeds a certain percentage of the value of the structure, you end up having to come into compliance with the current regulations, whatever they may be. This particular project, it's not considered in the floodplain. It's not considered more than 50% of the value, so it's not substantial improvement. But that's an important part of our zoning review, I would say.
So you have to look at the cost factor of whatever they're doing, correct?
And for value, we use their county appraisal for listed sale.
Right, state tax assessed value.
Yeah.
I'll show you, just so you guys can see what's in that permit.
Well, we don't need to go into detail. I just, you know.
I'd like to see
it. Yeah, I'll pass it around. You guys should know you're the planning commission. And I think the floodplain ordinance, it's its own chapter now. Used to be in the chapter 175, and then it got taken out.
That's something we need to discuss a little later.
What?
Floodplain.
Yeah. You're welcome. Okay, so I guess next 2346 as interior renovations, that's a permit that's already approved.
Okay.
And then lastly is 2351, the rooftop solar. Okay. That one's already approved. 200 Cool Springs.
So we're back to 2343.
Yep. Joe and Helen Watts at 216 Caroline Street. This is for a garage and stone driveway. Basically connecting the garage to the existing driveway.
They're putting up a garage?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this, Mary, this went through the Historic District Commission. Sorry.
2343.
Joe Watts.
216 Caroline Street. I'll pass that.
Okay. Did you need to see this, the dwelling?
You can take your time with it.
Oh, this is the renovation?
Yes, interior.
Who's doing the renovation?
Right.
You know, if the owner goes, it's another story.
Good question. How would we find out?
Well, if he hired somebody to do the work, then...
Welcome back, folks there in Zoom land. We lost internet here in Town Hall.
Wasn't us.
Yeah, we didn't. It wasn't you guys. But we're just talking about 216 Caroline Street. A question came up regarding lot coverage. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Just to give an idea of the property. It's 24,450, right? It's the lot size.
Okay.
So
it's a little over half an acre.
Pole barn is what?
Pole barn on the driveway was what, 3,400?
3,400.
Yeah. Okay. And 1,900 on the driveway.
Yeah. And then he's got a house.
You can do existing. Driveway's 115. The 20 at the most. That shed for the pot plant, isn't it 10 by 20?
The 30 by 50, and I think it's got 1,900, so yeah. 2,000 square feet of
I mean, this
driveway.
Existing shed, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, existing shed.
I think it was 10 by 20 on the plot plan. Tom, you got the plot plan there. I think that existing shed, or Joe or Helen, that existing shed, is it 10 by 20 or?
10 by 20.
10 by 20, okay. That's what I thought. Right, in the house. 55 by 38. Calculator.
what was it, 34?
3420.
Yep, so that's 8,010.
22,000 says plenty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's under the 50%
lock. Any further discussion on 2343?
No.
Motion?
I move to approve.
Second.
2343.
Just make sure with one last thing, just make sure that the driveway isn't impeding on the stormwater.
Okay.
So
I think it's a stone driveway, correct?
Yeah. Gravel.
Gravel. Yeah.
Yeah, in the past we've required new driveways to be at grade. Not any higher than the adjacent grass, just to help ensure that it's not going to create some kind of new stormwater runoff problem for the homeowner or the neighbors.
Yeah. Well, it's really only a problem to his neighbor.
I didn't catch the motion
was by Ursula. But I don't know what the motion is yet.
It's up to the board.
Motion to approve.
Oh, motion to approve?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
With any condition?
Renee?
Just the fact that if with the driveway, it what Brian said, that it doesn't impede on the neighbors, and the part on the street doesn't impede on the stormwater drain, any stormwater drains.
Yeah, they're off the street.
Yes.
So it's really only
it's great. It's set back quite a bit.
Yeah.
I can't see what the actual application is. I'm just saw a driveway. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No, it's the lot is an L-shaped lot, and it's on the shorter leg of the lot, and so it's not fronting a street, I don't believe.
It's from the building that they're erecting around to, I think, an existing driveway, if it's looking at that drawing.
Okay.
That
I'll draw on here. The proposed pole building is here.
It's roughly from the pole building to the existing.
And then the driveway.
Okay. I understand now. I just saw a driveway and I was thinking it was to the road, but that's fine.
Okay. So all discussion done. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Sorry, who was the second?
Me.
Robin. Okay. Yeah. All right. Next up is a detached garage at 339 Caroline Street. This is at permit number is 2348. Yeah, all the other permits already.
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
We did all the trees in the solar were approved.
Yeah. Tree removal, interior renovations, and rooftop solar can be approved before this meeting. Yeah.
This was conditional upon the confirmation of the garage door color. What did they choose?
Yeah, so the Historic District Commission did not, well, they approved it with the condition that they produce a, I guess, a schematic or a detail of the garage door.
Okay.
So we'll get that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It's showing it's white. Is it going to be white?
I don't know what color. They approved the conditional. I mean, we're going to approve it conditional upon them satisfying the color.
Confirmation of garage door color.
Okay. But we won't know what color that will be until it comes back again.
From the applicant, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll go ahead and approve it as soon as we get that color.
I expect it's going to be white. Most garage doors come in white, correct?
Well, I think they didn't.
Unless you special order.
I don't think they committed to the color.
So in other words, the owner has to commit to a color.
Mm-hmm.
We need to call the Historic Commission and tell for you and let them know that they are going to go with
white. Have they said white last night?
You know, unless they're looking for something specific, which probably
they wanted to make sure it was a door that was that would fit in with the historic district, not something that's so not just
the color, a roll up,
but the design.
That is a roll up, is it not? That's a double garage roll up door.
That'll
not
part,
going this way.
That'll be so, part of what we clarify.
1 16-foot garage door.
Yes, going up. Correct, according to the picture.
It's a big door.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably be on remote control.
Just motor.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Is it facing the street? Or is it in the back of the property?
It's in the street. I mean, it's kind of behind and over to the side of the house, but you would be able to see it from the street because it's at the end of the driveway.
Their mandate is only for facades facing the street.
Okay. But
the facade is on the back of the house, isn't under their bailiwick.
Okay.
All right. I have a motion and a second for 2348, please.
Motion approved.
I'll second it.
Good for you.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. The ayes have it. Ooh, in addition.
Yeah, this is at 227 Loiza Lane. The Historic District Commission didn't approve this one because they felt like they didn't have enough details on the addition by way of, you know, design. And
so we can table it till next meeting?
We can. Take part of the back off the house.
Yeah, the permit was approved to demolish.
Demolish, yes.
That addition, yeah. And this is just to add back on to it.
That we can table it until be approved.
Okay.
Fair enough. Next one. Is a new dwelling. Hot diggity.
There's not going to be many of these left.
Okay. Let me take that. Let's say a point. Yes, that's the event.
I go back. Got to be table
meets lot coverage and setback requirements.
How many lots do you think are left? 4 or 5?
Actually, that need a building permit.
Yeah.
Mary, what do you think? 2?
Well, there's 192 Cold Springs.
That's this one.
I think there's 95 here. Did we do that all right?
Not sure.
Wow.
There might only be 2 that need permits.
And one more.
Holy.
It was sold and then now it's moving again. So it might be left.
No. We're almost there, Dave. One more. That's just going back to him. We didn't. That one's tabled.
And he has to produce other plans. Is that what we're doing?
Just some photos of what's there now. Because there was a description of what the materials would be.
Okay.
They really wanted to see, a drawing and a photo would probably help. Design and color and materials.
Thank you.
Sales price. Sales price is a lot under what they've been building. Zero coming in the mid 400s. This is about three.
The little thing on the creek down off of Cather on the market.
What about it?
$350,000
for sale.
Yes, it's got a sign in front of it. Somebody better be telling that realtor if she's not doing her homework. She needs to spread the news. What's there?
Up in the swamp house?
In the swamp house. Somebody better let them know that it is in the floodplain. Because
is that a lot for there?
Hmm?
Is that a lot for the property?
Yeah, it sold for $200,000. That a year, 2 years ago? 2 years ago.
All the way to the end of Cather?
Go down Cather. And you'll get to the end. No. Down, come down Baltimore, turn on Cather, come down Cather, and it's on the left-hand side of the city. If you go across the bridge, you walk across the bridge, you can see it sitting okay there on your right side.
All righty. Motion and a second for 2352, please.
A motion to approve.
And Tom seconds.
Tom second.
All in favor, yeah. Say aye.
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 Motion carries. And the last one.
Last one is a new deck on the rear of 253 Inspiration Road.
Did we do the rooftop solar?
Yeah, we did that with the trees.
Oh, we did that one with the trees. Yeah, okay, sorry. The
renovation. Already approved.
Thank you.
We have over time ceded the power to grant those to the zoning administrator. On the trees, it was because you might have a dead tree and why wait for a meeting? And then right. It became so... Since you're going to cut it down and replace them, you know, and then the solar tops, what happened is that everyone was exactly the same. Had the method of installation on the roof, no setback, no coverage. So, you know, again, it just allowed that process, unlike a pool. Yeah.
That's good.
Same with interior renovations. Yeah.
Anything dramatic on the
no?
Inspiration doesn't need a HOA.
Huh. No fourth retention area impacted.
And this is straight setback and coverage.
Yeah, we might be in the preserves, like you mentioned it. Might want to condition that on HOA approval.
Okay.
That is the newer section. I honestly, there's so many, 19 lots in the preserves. Can't recall getting a HOA letter from there, but I'll try.
Okay. Have you heard that, Renee? This is going to be conditioned on an HOA.
I heard.
Okay.
Thank you.
That is a weird lot.
Yeah, look at the ball. They're all players.
Wow. What is that design? For some reason, my head keeps saying parallelogram, but it isn't parallelogram. It's something else, trapezoid, not a trapezoid.
I don't know. It's a... I mean, we're talking about that odd room, but, you know, it's really...
It's strange.
Well, it is a parallelogram, but it's also
look at how the one next to it on the left...
How's that meeting the setback?
Yeah, look at that. It's squeezed in there.
5 feet on the side.
Wow.
Okay. Any further discussion on
The remodeling on 253 Inspiration Road. My eyes.
I move to pass or approve 2354.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Turn it over to you, Brian, so you can turn it over to Dave.
Yeah. And here. I see Dennis Drumble is here with us this evening. I'm going to ask you to unmute. Did you have anything for the group before we get into our next general discussion topic?
Hi, how is everyone? Hope you're well. We're going to be putting in a application for a little project here, and I just wanted to come in and see what the process was like. So I'll be quiet as the church mess, I promise.
No worries. We just wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to speak. That's all.
Oh, no. Thank you. Next month, or hopefully next month. So one quick question, and I don't want to take up your time. Once a month you meet? A month. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's the first Thursday after the first Tuesday of every month.
First Thursday after the first Tuesday. Got it.
Yeah, think about that one. Yeah, that's always fun.
Though. Well, I'd rather say it's the first Thursday before the second Tuesday.
Oh.
I'm too tired to comment.
All right, so, David Dahlstrom with us this evening from the Maryland Department of Planning. I think what I had emailed out to the Planning Commission was just the fact that, remember, we had a developer at our last meeting talking to us about 807 Bladen Street, and you know, who had a vision for townhomes and mixed use ground floor retail, you know, along Bladen Street, and then apartments above it. It was a week after that meeting. We had three representatives of Dollar General come into town hall and say, "Hey, do you have any commercially zoned land in Charlestown?" And you know, I showed them the official zoning map on the wall there, and so, well, yeah, our C1 zone, these are the three areas, or I guess it's four areas that have it. They were looking at the C1 parcel on the northeast corner of Edgewater and Bladen and said, you know, I think we'll contact that property owner, see if he might want to sell it to us. And, you know, they left, and I felt a little worried, like, boy, our C1 zone in Chapter 175 right now, if someone came in, and went, if, just an example, you know, Dollar General wanted to build their store, I know I'd be a little bit worried about what we might get. And so I reached out to Dave. You know, we talked about our comprehensive plan, and we looked not just for the Dollar General scenario, but 807 Bladen Street as well, because remember that request, for that to even be allowed, that may involve some kind of rezoning, you know, to allow that mixed use, you know, ground floor retail, and then the apartments above it. Right now in the R3, it just wouldn't be permitted.
Are they still pursuing that?
We don't know. Haven't heard from them. I did follow up with the state's critical area commission, that other parcel further in from Bladen Street, that 6-acre parcel that's in the LDA of the critical area, that's overlay district. It is indeed a 15% lot coverage limit. So they said, all right, we don't have any questions at this time, so we'll see if that comes back. But anyway, it just kind of spurred the discussion of, you know, what is our comprehensive plan? Because we've been talking about reviewing it and possibly updating sections of it. Some of it might be good enough right now. Some of it may need to be updated. And Dave and I specifically looked towards just that. If a developer said, swooped into Charlestown and said, I want to buy this piece of land and propose this mixed use project, other than us saying it's not permitted, is there a way for us to kind of allow for that sort of growth, plan for it, but give it some guardrails to stay within? And really, I think the one, I'll say, recommendation in the comprehensive plan from what, 13 years ago, said I'm going to paraphrase. Some careful consideration should be given to commercial development that is located in the
I'll say the historic district, but the gateways of town, which I kind of felt like even back then kind of hit the nail on the head.
It sure does.
Boy, how important is that?
Very, very.
Right, for how this town feels when you're coming in and out. So Dave, you know, kind of laid my fears a little bit. He said, Brian, you know, a comprehensive plan amendment, you know, it's a process, but you might be able to approve that in, say, a 3-month time frame, and then that would set you up to amend your zoning ordinance to basically implement whatever vision you might have for, let's say, specifically commercial development located in gateways of the town. So, and I know too, you know, thankfully, I'll say, I guess, for 807 Bladen Street's situation, that 6-acre parcel that was in the critical area LDA with that 15% lot coverage limit, in a way that kind of, I'll say, curtailed the original development vision for that parcel, but there could still be development on that parcel. But I know Renee had brought it up at the commissioner's meeting when we shared with them just an update about the proposal that there's a feeling that the forested areas that we already have in town, it would be nice to kind of preserve them to a certain extent in their existing condition. Not to say, you know, you can't develop totally forested parcels, but to put some kind of a limit on it. And it doesn't have to be just within the critical area. Remember, the critical area is only a 1,000 foot ribbon of land in from tidal waters. If we looked at the whole town and just what we have mapped now as a green infrastructure network, it's basically our hydrology system and our forests overlaid together. If we had similar limits on that whole network all over town, we feel like longer term, that'll help us have less stormwater management issues. While still allowed.
But the basic restriction would be 15% coverage.
Maybe. 30% forest clearing limit and a 15% lot coverage limit. Very similar to the critical area.
Right.
It seems to be a pretty easy standard. But again, that gets into the zoning ordinance. I think from a comprehensive plan amendment standpoint, and maybe you can chime in, Dave, it might be just we already have that green infrastructure network mapped. It might be in the comprehensive plan saying this is our new green infrastructure network land use designation. When you see that future land use map and it talks about all kinds of different residential development, commercial.
Yeah, that's where you would that's where you would define what type of business or housing would go into those areas, correct? You would actually define that.
I think.
Or give a scope as to what you would, the town would prefer.
But Dave, you know, there's a lot that could go into updating a comprehensive plan. But an amendment is different than an update. An amendment is like you have very specific goals. And, you know, Dave was trying to squeeze it out of me, right? And I was like, all right, it's to make sure we have some kind of design standards in the C1 zone and to establish a green infrastructure network land use designation. And if we get amended into the comprehensive plan, our next step is ordinances to achieve that vision.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Brian, can I chime in?
Yep.
Sorry. Yeah, as you mentioned, the amendment process is a process. Basically, if you need to change any part of your comprehensive plan, you have to go through a public hearing process. You would propose your amendments to the plan. Typically, it's like a strike through underline, just like we did with the zoning ordinance. Show the changes, the additions that you're doing, hold a public hearing, let the public weigh in on it, and then eventually you would submit it to the department planning for what we call a 60-day review. And, you know, depending on the issues, we would send it to various state agencies for review, you know, with the scope of, you know, commercial design guidelines or locations or even this green network. You know, it's probably going to be a very limited scope of what agencies would actually need to see it, but we get chance to review it and give you comments before you adopt it.
So that process is relatively, you know, just the same as you would do your zoning ordinance update, except that when you finish your comp plan update, you would send it to us for comment. And that's all we can do is give you some feedback on the change. We don't approve it or not approve it, but we can just point out, you know, whatever comments that we may think are appropriate for your particular amendment.
But I guess what might be different, Dave, is, you know, we went through a public hearing process and got feedback from residents, for the zoning ordinance, as an example, right? And then and we did make some changes based on that public hearing.
Sure.
And then it went back to the town commissioners and they approved it. I think our charter says we have to wait so long. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it's short. It was actually short. The charter, amending the charter was a long time to wait. But amending the zoning ordinance, I think was only 20 days until it actually goes into effect. I guess in this case, Dave, wouldn't it be different? You know, after the public hearing, you said it was a 60-day review.
Sorry, I got a rambunctious puppy.
Well, the 60-day review is for state agency review. So you just couldn't adopt your amendment during that time frame. So when you hold your public hearing, or before you adopt it, you would have to wait for the state to provide you comments. You can do it the next day.
Got it.
But we have a 60-day period to review. And you can also ask for an expedited review, which would drop it down to 30 days. And in this particular instance, you probably could, because I don't see really any significant state issues that would arise from either topic.
Well, but I think you're right. It just makes me feel like we need to get those amendments done sooner, just right, to allow,
sure,
you know, for that 60-day review prior to adoption. I'll tell you, for the Green Infrastructure Network, that work is done, and it'd be pretty easy, I think, to make a map and say we want to call this a new land use designation on our future land use map.
Right. And you know, your existing comp plan, I went through before this meeting and looked at your existing comprehensive plan to see what it said about commercial guidelines.
Yeah.
And there actually are some implementation language in there that says to develop design guidelines for commercial. I think part of it, in your land use element, part of it in your municipal growth element, part of it in your goals and objective chapter. One of them even says that you develop a pamphlet on design guidelines. You know, have commercial that like meets the character of the town and those types of things. So there's some generalized things in there. I didn't see that gateway part. That doesn't mean it's not in there. But if there were commercial areas that you were thinking or you wanted to change or to even allow, like the mixed use, Brian, we had talked about that project, you know, proposing mixed uses. And when I read the zoning, it didn't appear that commercial uses were allowed. So if that's something that you would want to do, you would put in this comp plan amendment that would say, consider non-residential uses in the C zone, you know, in this area. You know, you may not want it in Old Town, but you may want it, you know, just along the state highway.
Again, I guess, yeah, I hear you, Dave. On the one hand, we could go ahead and develop design guidelines for commercial areas now. We don't have to do a comprehensive plan.
I think your comp plan has instructed you to do that already.
But if we wanted to come up with, say, a mixed use overlay zone,
yeah,
we have to look at the future land use map,
sure,
and figure out where, kind of like the Green Infrastructure Network, where would we create that designation? Right.
And you can be very generalized about that, or you could develop a scope that says, here's like the maximum that we would consider. You know, it could be either density, it could be intensity, lot coverages, and those types of things. You generally don't find, you know, your comp plan isn't a regulatory document. and it goes to the zoning. But if you're instructing somebody to write zoning, you can tell them, yeah, write the zoning, but we want you to play within this boundary, you know, of density or height. In, you know, right now your code already has a height, but maybe you want more height in this area. Maybe you don't, maybe you want less, maybe you want more density. You know, maybe you want to allow commercial apartments, which means that you allow ground floor retail and you allow apartments above. And, you know, so those might be changes in your comp plan, and you could kind of give an umbrella that says, this is how we want to change the zoning, but here's the, this is as far as we want to go.
Hey, Dave, can you do that on a percentage of land? Like the comprehensive plan, did we encourage commercial development up to 20%? You know, just pick out a number.
You have to show the locations of it. I mean, because your zoning is going to allow commercial, and you know, so like in your R1 right now, you may not allow commercial uses, so you can't have a policy that says you allow it 20% of the town if it's not allowed in that district. You'd have to say that that commercial use is allowed in these zones. And, you know, depending on the intensity of commercial uses, I mean, some of the language talks about like neighborhood character or, you know, what does that mean? You know, are those types of uses? So, yeah. A flower shop or something like that is going to be different than a dollar store.
Right.
And so you might say, uses less than 5,000 square feet are allowed in this zone, or uses greater than 5,000 have to be in a different commercial zone, or even have minimum lot sizes. Like you can't have a dollar store on a lot less than 5 acres or something like that.
Right.
So there's a lot of different ways to do that. There's other parts of your plan that talk about, you know, parking standards and road standards and, you know, the character of that. And, you know, your plan right now doesn't address that. It also has a provision in there that talks about, you know, especially in Old Town, that buildings have either a colonial or Victorian style. You know, and I don't think your code has any regulations on that right now. You know, so there are implementation strategies in your comp plan that, you know, you can look at it. And, you know, that could be one of the amendments that you go through. As you go through and you look at it, you could say, we're actually not going to require Victorian style. Like, the garage that you were talking about today, does it have a Victorian or colonial style? I don't know if that's something you looked at. But, you know, and again, what does that mean? And there are zoning standards in different towns that can dictate style. It can dictate whether your roof has to be a gabled roof. It can dictate the pitch. It can dictate the types of materials. It can dictate whether you have, you know, 6/6 windows. It can be very specific. It can even, you know, paint color, all that. A lot of zoning codes don't do that because, you know, a lot of people don't want the regulation and the enforcement and all that stuff. But your zoning code can be as detailed as you want. It could also mandate minimum opaque, you know, like for a storefront, you know, like you have to have, you know, big glass storefront windows. You can dictate the size of signs, the location of signs. You can, you know, the materials that you use. So, you know, all those things, those could be things that you could put in your comp plan that says, these are the types of things we want to do, and these are the types of things we don't want to do. And that would give some instruction to whoever's writing your zoning code, you know, what boundaries they have to follow.
Yeah, we've had one disaster, which is on the road construction, that narrow roads. But what happened is we put in a big development with a narrow road, and the emergency vehicles have a hard time with it. And it would work if people didn't park on the street, and they're not supposed to park on the street, but, you know, human nature. And we also have another one that's really problematic, which is they're trying to, in the comprehensive plan, to drive a grid network of streets to other streets that'll act as arterials. And that doesn't please anybody who lives on one of those arterial streets that previously had half the traffic.
None of these are simple issues.
The other curiosity I had about, we have commercial, probably don't remember everything here, every detail, but we do have specified commercial areas. And if we make a change here to say that the major roads can allow for commercial, we would just then have the ability to change the zoning from R3 or something to commercial. Because right now, to change a R3 or, you know, one of the residential lots to commercial tends to be pretty tough, because you've got to show that you're not affecting the character of the neighbors, mm-hmm. the neighborhood. And, you know, you slap down a commercial in between a batch of houses. It's hard to win that battle.
Yeah. You know, and commercial, you know, it needs to be, it needs to have exposure, but you're probably not going to have commercial like lining your entire main road. There's probably just not enough demand for all of that. So you can concentrate it like in a certain area that's most appropriate for that. Not just necessarily allow it everywhere along that road.
I think it gets back to our future land use map, mm-hmm. right? And that's what's on the screen right now. You know, there is this neighborhood redevelopment zone, those orange kind of parcels,
right. Yeah.
Which was where that, I'll say, mixed use development was proposed, right? Mm-hmm. The problem is we didn't really describe what the heck we wanted in the neighborhood redevelopment zone. There was no real vision for it. And I think that's what you're getting at, Dave, right? Like, we have to, on this map, say we would consider allowing mixed use development.
Right. That's in your chapter 4 land use plan. And then you have a section that's on page 9, neighborhood redevelopment. And then you also have on that page green corridor. And what you could do is you could look at that section and say, does this really describe what we want to do with our zoning? And if not, you know, just add a sentence, add a word, add a paragraph, you know, delete something that may not be what you want anymore, just so that it gives you the instructions on, you know, what you're going to do with this design guidelines. Because I think right now, I think your plan gives you that authority to do it. It doesn't give you a whole lot of boundaries. So, you know, people are going to say, well, what are you going to do? I think it's appropriate to say, well, here's our marching order. This is what we want to try to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So if you can get agreement with the public before you start it, then it's going to be a lot easier to get it adopted when you do it, as opposed to coming up with something and people thinking, well, that's not what I thought when you said you're going to do this. You know,
right. Dave, on these commercial spots, I'm looking at something that has a plethora of small lots and, you know, a real dearth of large lots. Is there a way of crafting language that says if you have a small lot, the amount of foot traffic to that business has to be X or less?
How do you determine that?
Hmm?
How do you determine?
Well, it's the type of business. If you have a floral shop, that's one thing. If you have a grocery store or something else like that, where you're having constant traffic in and out. I mean, look at the cell, how small those lots are.
Yeah, you can limit the size of a commercial establishment. I mean, I'll just throw 5,000 square feet out there. You know,
okay.
That's the size of a McDonald's for generally for 5,000 square feet. But some of these lots may not even be 5,000 square feet. So, you know, you may not be able to get it and park it and those types of things. So part of it is you, and part of your plan said that the commercial should kind of mimic the look of housing.
Right.
You know, so you know, you've seen flower shops like in an old house and stuff like that. So, you know, it can be done. You know, a dollar store typically doesn't look like a house. Doesn't mean it can't, but I've seen McDonald's look like houses. But actually there are some really, really creative McDonald's, but they're few and far between. But you could limit, you know, no drive-throughs, you know, certain, you know, you have to have a certain size for some of these types of uses. But typically, you know, like a Verizon store is going to be in a small footprint, you know, a nail salon is going to be in a small footprint, accounting office, you know, tax office, you know, those are all going to be less than 5,000 square feet generally, you know, depending on the size of the business, but you can limit those types of uses in your code, right. And you could create a new zone that would allow, you know, the more intense uses and not let them encroach into your old town. And even, you know, I think your old town boundary is on one side of the street, and then you have some of these properties that are on the other side. And, you know, that's not necessarily a good buffer, is the street. So you could also, you know, limit where you allow these things, you know, in proximity to that boundary. Like, you wouldn't allow whatever, you know, this new zoning category to be across the street from your town, your old town, if that's not what you wanted. Or you could allow that, but you could say, you know, you're only allowed two stories there, you know, or something that creates a transition. There are so many different ways to address it. The thing is that right now your code really hasn't been changed since this plan was adopted to really address the issues that were identified and maybe some new issues that have come up that you're trying to deal with. But you know, zoning can be very creative, and it's intended to allow development to happen in a way that when someone comes forward, you can say yes to it and not be surprised that what you're getting is not exactly what you had in mind. Your code can be that specific. And anyone that wants to deviate from them, you just send them down the highway to some other town and say, look, if that's what you want to do, go there. That's not us. You don't have to accept, you know, corporate styles. Like I mentioned before, there are McDonald's that look like old historic houses, because they want to be in an old historic district that requires everything to look like an old historic house. I'm not saying that'll happen in Charlestown, but you can.
Yeah, my concern is that everybody with a little business has a driveway onto a state road, or when you see larger businesses on larger highways, all that traffic is directed, you know, to a single driveway that's not. You know, sure. And we have this bar coming into town, and he has a long, thin parking lot along the roadway, mm-hmm. and the entirety of it is a pullout, you know, because they didn't put a high curbing there, is a pullout onto the street.
Right.
Now, granted, we don't have any control on that. It's the county, but
unless we hurry up and annex it.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to see just this proliferation of little commercial spots that and where we have it there's a tremendous number, there's a lot of residential housing where we have the growth area for commercial. I mean, that's, you know, and if every one of those lots for a mile down the highway are residential and we say it's a growth area for commercial, that's a bad solution for those folks who are living there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Dave, what is kind of scary about a dollar store, you know, when they came in here saying, hey, where's your commercial zone land? It's funny, the future land use map here doesn't really specify where commercial should or shouldn't go. But they looked, do you see that subdivision on the west side here? I'm going to point it out with my cursor. That subdivision that was proposed on this, I think it's like a 30-acre property. It's either mm-hmm. green corridor or it's that neighborhood redevelopment. It was called the Gentera subdivision. Now, I guess that was proposed maybe, I'll say about 20 years ago, and it never went through. I think we hurried up and annexed that parcel into town, but the subdivision never went through. Well, it ends up that the Dollar General, you know, gave up talking to this guy over here at Edgewater and Bladen, and is looking at this piece of property, but, you know, without any kind of, I'll just say, land use designation for future commercial growth, the only option they'd have is to try to get it rezoned.
Well, they can only get it rezoned if it's part of a comprehensive rezoning, meaning that your comprehensive plan has given like the okay to change that area to commercial, or there is a mistake. And it was intended to be commercial, and the map still shows it as something else.
Right. It's like impossible.
Yeah. So that you don't have to grant them commercial if your plan doesn't allow for commercial there. There is a process to do it. It's through the comp plan update process. You know, it used to be every 6 years. Now it's every 10 years. You know, your last plan was done in 2018. So it's been way more than 10 years. But when you go through that update process, that would be one of the things you would look at, is to say, do any of these lands need to be changed? And I would think that property owner would come forward and petition to have you guys look at changing that to commercial. And you guys can say yes, or you can say no, that's not consistent with our growth plans for that area. You know, so just because someone requests it doesn't mean you have to grant it, but your comp plan should generally, you know, you could have a property that says that should be part of our green corridor, and, you know, doing commercial there might be in conflict with that. So, you know, that could be one of the grounds that you turn it down. The other part, it could be it's, you know, residential in nature, or, you know, whatever it is. You don't have to grant it.
And I'll tell you, that's one of our, we just updated our sustainable community action plan, because that went through, I guess we originally got into that program in 2017, opened up the door to some grant funding opportunities with the state. And we just updated it last year, 2022. And if you would look at the sort of priority action items in that plan, it really, it's kind of getting towards, I don't want to say, you know, design guidelines for commercial districts specifically, mm-hmm. but certainly design guidelines for our historic district.
Sure.
So, if our comprehensive plan kind of lays it out for us to already do that, then there's probably nothing holding us back other than, you know, maybe some kind of technical expert to help us do it.
I think your plan gives you the authority, in fact, has instructed you to have basically have done it already. But what it doesn't do, it doesn't give you any, a whole lot of guidelines of, you know, what does consistent with character mean?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of open-ended. And I know there's a lot of buzzwords in there that are typically used, you know, that talk about building setbacks or parking in the rear or walkability, you know, these types of things. They kind of go back to what, you know, a lot of zoning in the last 20 years has started to be more form-based, which looks at, you know, how a building is situated on a site. And it can also get into some of the characters, like I mentioned before, like the amount of window glazing, which means, you know, how much of your front facade is window. It could require like 80%, you know, so you don't have just like a brick wall. You know, let's think of like a Walgreens or a CVS. You know, it's just a concrete block all the way around except for the entrance to the door, right? Dollar General is probably the same way, but
on a traditional main street, you know, you're walking by, you know, glass windows, and they're probably 70-80% window on the front. And then you also have, you know, especially on an old main street, your ground floor heights are probably 10 to 12 feet. And a lot of it is to allow light to go back into the back. And a lot, you know, a lot of new commercial isn't built that way, or they have these false ceilings or flat roofs, and, you know, different type of character. So, but your comp plan can kind of describe what you want, and then your zoning would go in and put in the, you know, the more exact details.
I guess what we have to decide is, like, do we want to get a technical expert to help us do some guidelines, or do we want to take like a little bit of a pause and think about what we want first to amend the comp plan?
Well,
I wouldn't be taking a pause, because I think they're coming for us, plain English. I mean, they see availability here.
Yeah.
Well, so we need to be prepared.
Once somebody comes into your town hall, right, and says, we've been, we feel like this is a good place.
Yeah, we've been discovered. And everybody's
been looking at this.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's like, oh.
I mean, what's your thought?
Ken. Yeah, at the last MML dinner that we just had, I was talking to Chesapeake City and what they did, because Hooters wanted to come into the middle of there, and whatever they did in their stuff, it might be something to do. We might want to set up a meeting to see what they did. And also Cecilton, because they have a Dollar General in the middle of their town. So it might be a good idea to reach out to them and maybe set up a meeting to see what they have done.
Did you work with them, Dave?
No, not on those projects. I mean, I've worked with Chesapeake City in the past.
I mean, especially recently, I guess, to maybe update their zoning ordinance or comp plans, either one.
They haven't updated their comp plan. And if they've done a zoning ordinance update, they're not required to send it to us. So I do not know.
Okay.
But I did work with Aberdeen, and, you know, we developed a form-based code for their downtown area that describes a lot of these concepts, especially along their main street. You know, what's the sidewalk width? What's the height of the buildings and the amount of windows and, you know, the parking amounts and those types of things. And so, even Galena, to some degree, started adopting some of these standards.
You worked with Galena?
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, you know, we're not a zoning agency. I mean, I've done zoning for 30 years. So I have that expertise, and I can offer it to you, but we don't prescribe a certain zoning to use, or standard, or style, or, you know, density or intensity. That, you know, we basically want it, the zoning, to implement your vision.
Right.
And so, you know, we can say, all right, if this is your vision, here's some ways to do it. You can either say, yeah, that's a way we want to do it, or no, we want to do it some other way. When I'm looking at your comp plan, it says that you should have design guidelines, and you know, yeah, you know, here you are now, and you're still looking for them. But that's not uncommon. Most comp plans have a list of implementation steps that never get done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, part of it is time, money, resources, you know, expertise. You know, Aberdeen, we worked with MDOT to do the master plan around the rail station, and, you know, did a charrette with the town, and, you know, there was a lot of money that the state paid for, MDOT. And one of the recommendations was to create a form-based code. And I remember the planning director talking to me saying, what the heck's the form-based code and how do I do it? Well, I'm certified in it. My wife was certified in it. And the Pat Keller, who worked at the MTA at the time and then became my boss at MDP, he was certified in it. So we formed a work group and we worked with the town for about a year and came up with the new form-based code for their downtown area. And so it was a learning process for the town, but Phyllis got it. And, you know, it's still in place now. So it can happen. So it's not a technique that everybody knows. You know, a lot of professionals that I talk to aren't educated in it. And so they'll dismiss it because they don't know it. But right. It doesn't mean that it may not be a good tool or shouldn't be in your zoning code. I'm a big fan of it. Again,
yeah, and it may be worth pursuing for us. I'll tell you, just so you know, and I think we're all in agreement, our comprehensive plan needs to be updated. But at the same time, I think we need to make some changes pretty quick to our zoning ordinance.
And so basically your comp plan will just give you the instructions to do it. Again, I think your comp plan does give you, you know, the instruction to change your to create design guidelines.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything about allowing mix of uses or changing these properties a certain way, or, you know, I think that's where your plan could be enhanced, is just looking at, and I could talk to you about it later, Brian, but I went and I looked, you know, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 11, where it talks about, you know, zoning regulations, building character, talks about streets, it talks about, you know, design guidelines, green corridors, infill development. You know, there's different places in the plan where either one or more of these areas, you could just add a line item that says, here's what we want to do, or here's what we're going to do in the next year or 6 months or whatever it is. So that when you start this process of updating your zoning code, you know what your marching order is. You know, you can't have a project that's open-ended. Otherwise you never finish it. So you kind of have to say, here's our scope. This is what we're going to do.
Almost need like a mini comp plan to figure out what your vision is.
Yeah. I mean, you have a vision statement in your plan and it talks about, you know, keeping the community character. I think part of it is, you know, determining what that is.
Right.
You know, everyone around the table might have a different vision in their mind about what the community character is. And I think part of it is just sitting down and saying, is it this? Is this the height? You know, is this the setback? Is this the use? Is this the location? And, you know, how do we address parking? How do we address walkability? How do we address environment? How do we address, you know, it just keeps going on and on about all the different things. But you don't want to do this necessarily townwide. You probably want to have targeted areas like your neighborhood redevelopment area or along the state road or something like that.
Right. I think that would be
good. I'm saying focus on something specific. When you have an amendment, basically say, you know, here's what we want to do. We want to incorporate, you know, our green infrastructure plan. And, you know, it already has, you know, work with the county to like create an infrastructure plan. So part of it is, well, now we're implementing it. What does that mean? And then the other thing is develop design guidelines or locations for new commercial areas in the town. And so it can be something very short like that. It doesn't have to be a long amendment. It can be, like I said, it can be a sentence. It could be a paragraph that just describes what you want to do.
Something that would allow us in planning when people come in with an application to give them some sense of what they can do or not.
Because right now your comp plan says, you know, development should meet the character of the town.
All right. So your Dollar General, you tell them, all right, you got to meet the character of our town. And like, well, what does that mean? They're going to come to you with the design they just did down the street.
Right.
You're going to decide whether it meets the character of the town. But you have to be able to tell them, well, here's why this doesn't meet the character of the town. One, it's too tall. B, it's set back too far or not far enough. Or you don't have any windows in the front. You don't use a certain style. You know, you don't have, all these different things. And that's where your code can help you. And that's, we always promote visioning and master planning and stuff and looking at these things because, you can sketch it out before it happens and then design the code. And I think you had mentioned also about limiting the location. Part of what you can also do is limit the amount of development. If it's a mixed use, you can say, at least 50% of it has to be residential. At least 80% of the units have to be multifamily or single family or what, you can describe that in your comp plan. That said, instead of just saying have a mix of residential, well, what does that mean? But you can say, it's a mix of residential, primarily single family, at least 80% has to be this, at least 5% has to be multifamily or whatever it is. But you can set those parameters up. When I worked on a basically it's another form code here in Queen Anne's County, they had a vision plan. And part of that, they had critical area and they required a 300-foot buffer around their critical area. So any development that came in, they automatically had a 300-foot buffer that you couldn't build in. So the zoning code basically specified that. So anyone coming in with a site plan, first thing they had to do was lop off that 300-foot buffer and then they designed around it. Then it also said you could only have, they wanted a mixed development, so you could only build so much square footage of commercial based on how much residential you built.
Dave, is something commercial development in the town will be restricted in the future to town to state roads only, frontage on state roads only? Is that too restrictive? Allow the commercial we have in internal to the town, but restrict our growth in commercial to along a state road.
Yeah, but you probably wouldn't have to state it that way. You could have a policy in your plan that says commercial should be located along primary roadways or like main arterial roads, and then you would just for a land use you would put commercial, and you would just draw the boundaries of where that would be. Maybe it's the whole length of the state road. Maybe it's only half of it. Maybe it's only on one side of the road. You could just locate it along a principal arterial, but you wouldn't have to necessarily state it because you may not want a whole strip of commercial up and down the entire length of that corridor. I'm not sure. There may not be enough demand for all of that. So you may want other uses in there.
Yeah, good point. I think when we talk about development potential, and growth pressure, it tends to be on those lands that aren't built on yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're scattered all over the town.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in any one of these. I don't know if they're even concentrated in any of these land use designations more so than the other. They're kind of scattered, and that's how do you address
scattered
that?
Within residential. I don't think that's what I'm saying. Just say future commercial growth is limited to major arterials or whatever, and the infill that occurs in the residential neighborhoods is residential, and that way you're protecting the rest of the people on that street.
And then the type of business that would go in there.
And that's what this doesn't, I think.
We've already allowed home occupation.
Right.
Okay, but that's a little bit different because
that's tightly controlled in terms of what you can do in an apartment. Okay, so it's not like we're anti-commercial, you can have it, but no, you can't put in something with a 30 car,
and that's
parking lot, 30 car parking lot.
And that's, you know, that's where having a public workshop and such, and asking the public what their thoughts are about what commercial should be. You know, they'll let you know.
And then
this is to do ahead of major work on the plan, just invite the public in for a meeting.
You can't develop your regulations when the developer is at the door asking for a permit, you know. And I see this time and time again, you know, like a Walmart will come in, and they're not so much anymore, but when the Walmarts were the big thing, the big box stores, you know, everyone used to come to the planning commission meeting with their signs, you know, no to Walmart. You know, and the planning director was saying, well, the zoning allows it. I can't really tell them no, because they're following the regulations, you know, but everyone's fighting it. But even when they do turn it down, they never change the zoning, you know, so that doesn't, that doesn't prevent, you know, a Kmart coming in and, you know, the next year trying to do the same thing. So unless you change your zoning to, you know, not allow some of these uses, then, you know, so you really need to look at your zoning. You know, part of it is, you know, the character, like where the parking goes, you know. A lot of them love to have the parking out front instead of the rear or the back. And, you know, but your code can specify those types of things, especially if you want to keep that, you know, that old historic character. You typically don't find the parking lots in the front. So, you know, there's a lot of things to consider. And, you know, having a master plan, just getting a base map of your town and putting some tracing paper over it and drawing how buildings go is you know, just part of the things that can
more chocolate.
That chalkboard, yeah, something that says here's how we want the roads to connect, here's how we want, you know, go. And you know, even the zoning, you know, looking what your zoning, the setbacks, or even those flag lots that you showed earlier, do you want to allow flag lots? And you can see what happens when you allow them, you get some crazy stuff going in there. So your zoning categories, a lot of them, you know, prohibit flag lots from being created or have minimum front footage, and a lot of it is to prevent that from happening. But, you know, a developer will try to squeeze in every single lot that they can. Why not? If the density is there and you get 5,000 square feet you need for the lot, why not put it in there? But I think also your code talks about, you know, having parks and other types of things. And how does your code deal with that? You know, you don't really have a whole lot of big spaces, but you kind of have to think about what and where you're going to do some of these things. And it could be that your commercial ends up being more like a you know, town square type of development, where you have, you know, shops that are around a square that kind of creates a new area. I don't know if you have enough land for that type of thing, but you know, but you can think about that.
We're going to have to keep talking about, you know, whether or not it makes sense to do a commercial development amendment versus just updating that section of the plan. I don't know if we can get right to what needs to happen. I guess the other side of that is, you know, are we ready to come up with some design guidelines for our existing commercial areas? But the question I got for you at this point, Dave, is back to the green infrastructure network. We have this green corridor on a map. Mm-hmm. I guess I could read how it's really described in the comp plan now, but I don't know if that matters so much. I can tell you that the map has changed. The green infrastructure network is not the same as this green corridor from 13 years ago.
Okay. And I will say that you on your municipal growth map, you also have some additional green corridors that show up, like in the area that's to the white, where it says Trinity Woods to the right of that. I think there's some green corridor in there. So,
yeah, but that's outside of town, isn't it?
But it's in your growth area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and part of your green corridor is you're going to want to work with the county to make sure that they connect and that, you know, when they do development, they're considering it as well. I mean, it's their area and their zone, but what happens outside of town affects what happens inside of town. So
I can tell you, when we update the comp plan, we're probably going to change that municipal growth area.
Okay.
But for now, the question is, with our existing municipal growth area, is it worth doing a comp plan amendment to just update the location and shape of the green infrastructure network, i.e. green corridor?
I would, if that's all you're going to do, probably not. But if you're going to change, I think I heard you talk earlier about lot coverage.
Yeah.
Impervious surface and that type of stuff. I would incorporate it so it's in there by reference, and then you could say that you will, you know, be amending the zoning or subdivision regulations to, you know, reflect
this new network.
Yeah, this network and you know,
seems like we should do that.
Maybe the impervious surface amount changes and you can't do as much as you had before. So, you know, someone might have had 30%, now they can only do 15%. They're going to want to know, where did that change come from? If, you know, if the comp plan doesn't say that's
right, okay. That still seems to me relatively easy enough to proceed with. And then in my mind, those undeveloped lands, no matter the zoning, mm-hmm. has some kind of overlay protection.
Yeah, your existing comp plan contemplates that there's going to be a green corridor and maybe even a green corridor plan. And out of that, you know, things are going to change. But you know, doesn't expressly say what those changes are going to be. And that's right. What I could see that your amendment would do, would kind of summarize what the green infrastructure plan said and how it's going to maybe instruct you to change your zoning.
And that's the nice thing about the town updating the county's green infrastructure plan from 2019.
Right.
I won't say all, but most of that work's already been done. So it's great.
And that's where it's good to have a plan, because then you can develop regulations based on the plan and say, here's why we're doing it, and this is what we're consistent with the land use and the design guidelines and such. If you don't have a master plan or a charrette plan, it's kind of hard to pick what the standards are, because you don't really know what you're designing for. And so when we do, you know, a lot of these form-based codes, we already have like an image, you know, renderings of, you know, a master plan of, you know, building footprints and such, you know, how things are spaced out and where they're going to go, so that you can develop the zoning to basically guide that picture or vision you have of future development. And you can say, all right, if you follow this zoning code, you'll get these images. Because, you know, this is what we've designed for. So it's kind of hard to do, you know, some of these design guidelines without some type of sketch of what the development's going to look like.
I agree.
We need to learn about how we're going to get to meetings, but I don't think we have anything more for Dave tonight. Anybody have anything specific for Dave?
No, it just sounds very involved and complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Yeah, we don't do anything simple.
All a lot of work. And help from the state on this. Is there?
Sure.
Guidance. In person guidance is what I should say.
I can do in-person guidance.
You know, as we sit down and put it together, or try to put it together, or yeah. take it apart, whatever we're doing.
Yeah. A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Yeah. And I guess eventually what has to happen with all this, if once we come to a somewhat of a consensus, is a public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll share with Brian some of the zoning that I've worked on with, like, Queen Anne's, Galena, Aberdeen.
Aberdeen.
And, you know, those can be models. And I'll even share some of the language that, you know, like Port Deposit, for example, they had a big change up at Bainbridge. It was originally going to be residential, and then they got word that they couldn't do residential, so they had to change the comp plan. Basically, it said, you know, instead of being a residential subdivision, it's going to be commercial.
That was in the comp plan?
That was in the comp plan. Yeah, the comp plan said it was going to be residential. They couldn't do what they're building now until they changed their plan.
They basically, what I guess to get at that, Dave, they basically couldn't redo that zoning until they had a comprehensive plan amendment.
Yeah, then the comp plan said we're going to create a new zoning category because the Navy said they weren't allowed to put residential on the site.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So basically we struck out the word residential and put in the word
Navy. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they would have to spend millions and millions of dollars to dig up all the soil, and, you know, and the Navy wasn't going to do that. So basically, they told the town, you can have the land, but you can't put residential on it.
So it's going to be commercial, commercial.
Is. Yes, and it's under development now.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, there's other parts of it. There's the Tome School area and other parts that aren't included in that, but.
That is a shame, though. It really is. I personally think it is.
Well, sure. I mean, the town had a great plan for that.
Yeah.
For that area, it was a great site plan.
Was that kind of mixed use, Dave?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mixed use.
Yeah.
With schools and offices and lots. Great. It was pretty amazing.
Huh. So now we just have more trucks running the road.
Yeah.
Having
more warehouses.
Yes. Yeah. Warehouses. Love that.
That sounds like to me. More warehouses.
Uh-huh.
I wonder how big that site is, Dave.
It's huge.
It was 1,200 acres.
There you go. 1,200 acres. Well, it's huge. My father came out of the Navy there.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. But that amendment, as big as that was, the comp plan changes weren't all that much. I mean, you just had to, you know, wherever it referenced this residential development, and they had different tables and such, you know, how much residential was going to go in the town.
Yeah, do you want to look at it?
Remove those out. But I'm thinking, and your amendment, it's probably just going to be, you know, some very strategic language about what you want to do and where you want to do it.
So what you're seeing now throughout counties, more and more of these companies, such as the Dollar Store, McDonald's, or whatever these other stores may be, more and more coming on board to towns or asking to.
Yeah. Yeah, I just and saw why, a dollar.
Why is that?
Because we don't have the infrastructure and the zoning ordinances that the larger towns do. Sitting on your right area.
Yeah, I think Dollar General has announced, like, they're going to build almost 1,000 new stores. I just saw one last week in Easton, and they didn't build it on 50. They built it like a block off of 50. And so it's not on a commercial corner, but now all of a sudden there you see this Dollar General back there. Kind of in an out of the way place, but you know, they're going to find little spots to sneak them in there, unless you're ready for them.
Well, I think part of it too, Dave, and one thing I've noticed just in my short time in Charlestown is we're kind of a little bit countercurrent to this idea that the county's had as far as municipal growth goes, to just direct all development towards the towns. Charlestown kind of wants to have a green belt. Sure. We don't want warehouses right next to our, our town. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of the challenge too, is like, I'm not saying
put it in your municipal growth element.
Right.
And the county's doing their comp plan update. And I don't know if you've been involved in that, but that's where, you know, you guys have to be proactive to let them know about this is a concern you have.
I've been talking to them, but are they really doing an update or is it amendment? Or
they're doing a full update. Yeah. You know, about a year ago, I went to their kickoff meeting and they were going to do a full update.
Last I talked to them, they weren't getting very far, but.
Well, I haven't heard anything since that first. First meeting.
But now they know that. They know how Charlestown feels anyway about Greenbelt.
But you know, for the county, it's a daunting task. And once you open it up, you know, you better be prepared for it because, you know, it's a lot of work. And I think they wanted to do it in-house, which makes it even more complex because, you know, it's hard to do your day job and then do an update of a comp plan as well. So,
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, even just for us to contemplate design guidelines,
it's
we need a technical expert. We need to hire somebody. We can't do it in-house. Not to say that we can't do some of it in-house. There's no doubt that we can, but.
Sure. Should we start? Seriously.
I know. Yesterday.
Right.
It's involving when we get off Dave with the Open Meetings Act.
All right, Dave.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Up to the board.
Thank you.
Thank you. And like I said, we'll definitely keep in touch.
Oh, yes. In touch. Sure.
All right. Good night, all.
Thank you.
Renee, did you have anything else?
No, just the Dollar General's. Their new plan is to be more of community-based. So they want to put them in every community that they possibly can, and they want to make them more walkable. So that's pretty much why they're trying to come here, because we're centrally located, especially with phase 3 getting ready to start in Charlestown Crossings. It'll open up on the 7th, and then the rest of the town and future development of Scott Garden and all that. So they see it. But we need to redirect it. And one of the other things that kind of upset me with that developer that was wanting to put the townhouses in, looking at what they have in other places, it's all building and pavement. There is no green there. And I want to make sure with everything that we're doing that we do have that somewhere that we're keeping that green area.
Yeah. Well, we've got to move off the 80% coverage.
Yes.
I mean, it can't be anywhere near that. The other thing is I think we need to meet other than once a month.
Right.
And so the issue is because of the Open Meeting Act, even if we want to have a work session, we're pretty narrowed down the location. In other words, we could offer up the Tory House, 107 House, except they don't have computer Wi-Fi. So how disruptive would a work meeting be in here during the day?
Can't attend any day meetings unless it's that every other Monday off. I do know that.
And we could get you, Renee, on an every other Monday, but I know it's easy to get into the fire hall.
Okay.
And they have Wi-Fi. If we need it. I mean, sometimes we might not even need internet.
Well, if we have a public meeting.
We have to have it. It has to be, if we have a working group, it has to be that people can listen to it.
I see. Okay. Got it.
But even if it's that we have the plan, a paper plan, we can all call in on Zoom. We just don't necessarily have to be there and we can go over it.
Sure.
That's a thought too.
Yeah, what I see is that we should have a meeting basically with our overlay maps and have a full understanding about what we're talking about. And I mean, I would like to drive the, you know, my my dog in the hunt here is to have commercial on, I would call it a state road, because the state roads, major roads, arterials, pretty much the same thing.
Right.
And then say, this is the design criteria, this is the use, this is the parking. And, you know, I mean, I see the Dollar General in the Northeast, they put that in without any parking.
Yes. Well, the one, yeah, and they do make them, depending on where they go. It's in guidelines of,
They beat them around the arm, the neck and shoulders. That Dollar General is 50 feet off the road.
Right.
It has plenty of parking, et cetera. And I think we could do that. And maybe what we really need to do is to create the word picture of what we want before we have somebody come in to handle the technical portions of writing it.
We need to know what we want, would like here.
The other issue is that we have to consider that property that developer was thinking about that's on Loisa Lane, that there has to be a traffic study there if they put in any type of commercial, because that's a blind spot right there.
Right now, I mean, the hurdle, given how little land coverage you can have back there, is something. But the other one is to change our commercial from 80% down to something more realistic.
Is that person still on the lookout for here? Is he still interested? No. Have they come back?
No.
That developer, last communication I had was just, hey, this lot, this 6-acre lot, 15% lot coverage limit.
Yeah. That took it over. That ended it. Right.
But now the larger commercial
ended space, it, but it.
Yeah.
But he looked at the large commercial space going out of town for single family housing. He looked at that place, that lot for single family.
Where was that?
That big odd shaped lot. It's for salesman's for sale for years.
Oh, yeah.
It's commercial.
Right.
It's 20 acres.
Right.
So he was thinking about that for single family housing. So, you know, they're just looking to make
land use. And that would be a good spot for the Dollar General is over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying. On these overlays, that is commercial, and we can say that's where we want to in our planning for the commercials to get commercial property to be there. Now, is that also the green beltway? Is it? Okay.
So again, it just gets down to, you know, what should the lot coverage limit be?
Right.
You know, and you get down to another thing too. How many Dollar Generals do you need within mileage of each other? And so I know they want to get as many as they can, but do we have to abide by that? No, I don't think so.
Need the police.
What's the answer to every money question?
What?
What's the answer to any question involving money?
No.
More.
More.
Well, I will tell you, listening to residents, because the word's out, they're in favor of it.
Who is?
Dollar General?
Yeah. I've heard people say they are in favor of it. And the reasoning is the same thing of what their thing is. They want to be a walkable place. So if we need to go, oh crap, I forgot, we can go to the Dollar General where it's right there. So that's what people are thinking, and you don't have to drive to get there.
I bet you 10-1, if you took 10 people that were going to the Dollar General, out of those 10, 8 of them would drive, maybe 2 would walk. If I had to take statistic or take survey.
But it's still a shorter drive for the residents here to be here, and they don't have to deal with going into Northeast.
Greenblatt that lives across from the wall.
Yeah, and I could see that. And again, it's not so much like
he wrote this book,
20 the town years of grace, should be in the business of
but it's
discriminating, really right? Saying like, no, you can't come here. It's more just like you're the guardrails you have to follow.
Pierre Town.
So it would be more or less the,
that's really what we're talking
about, the type.
And Willow.
Dave was saying it's like the size of the business.
Correct.
Like, would a Dollar General even open?
But he did put
if it
here
could
our
be
town.
Bigger, the footprint this building could paragraph be bigger than so 5,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Just as an example. When he said that's like McDonald's.
The website's right. The last sleepy town least, on the Chesapeake, and the people want to
in a way, you could kind of make it.
We are a bedroom town. So it's
only a smaller.
The commercial
retail would be allowed.
Because the other thing we have to look at is Market Street going to be there forever? Are we going to lose the little store?
Maybe, right? That's possible. We have to plan for that. All the C1 that we have right now, not all of it's being used. Some of it's underutilized right now.
Right.
But what could show up right now? What could be permitted right now?
Right, but next to these apartments, all right. That's commercial.
Right, off the street.
Yeah,
yes.
That whole block.
Which is owned by. And that's why it's parking and it's direction. And that's already C1.
That's what he said, too. And at least for that piece, it's in the historic district.
It's in Times Square.
Standards. Right. So even just thinking about the C1 that we have now on town roads.
If we're going to put it in, I think Fireman's Field would be the best place because then you'd have parking all around it. Dollar General
and Fireman's Field.
That's a town property, though.
Town property. The one up here?
If we sold it.
We're
not going to sell that.
Can you imagine the uproar of the people there?
At least
I'm here for a 7-Eleven with gas pumps.
That would be a definite, like, what are we thinking there?
We don't need a gas station, do we?
The gas station was actually taken out of town. There was one because of it leaked into the groundwater, and that's why we got town water.
Out on 7 coming into town right across from the church. When I moved here,
there was talk about that. There was talk about that to put in a small convenience store and a gas station there. And that developer was supposed to finish off behind APG Bank and Wawa. They were supposed to put a restaurant there. And something happened that they're no longer doing stuff like that. But they were the ones that were going to do that.
I think the economy had its downturn in 10. All those projects stopped. And then we have filled all the land with infill.
Yeah.
Residential infill. And regardless of what everybody wants, the people who live in town want to live in neighborhoods. There are enough just with the Airbnb or short-term rental, whatever you want to call it.
One thing I'll say to Ken's point about the beachcomber, they already, because we give them water and they're outside of town, they've already agreed to being annexed. So we were so worried, which we could rightfully be, about, because that's commercially zoned. That's that little square on the map there.
Yep, and it's the county. We have no
control over that. And all this strip of land that's in between the beachcomber up to the railroad tracks, there's talk about that getting rezoned to something, even if it's just light commercial, because it doesn't seem like it'd be a good spot to live, right? It's zoned residential right now. Part of me thinks, like, maybe we should hurry up and annex some of that land so that we would have a say on that kind of development. Because I don't know if...
Well, the person that owned it died, correct?
No, he's alive. Tom's still alive.
He's the one that lives there?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw him not that long ago at Market Street.
He's going to stay, I'm assuming?
Yes.
I just think there's that big commercially Blue Heron storage right up here. That's a big commercially zoned. That's like anything goes commercial zoning right
there. As they proved. Yeah. That was going to be the Wawa.
Something like that. It was supposed to be a gas station, maybe a small bank, and a convenience store.
And
the corner
the town engineer about the water capacity analysis. That big commercially zoned formerly proposed Wawa parcel. We were looking to annex that.
What's the gateway? Okay. And we're allowing the county make it look like a crap hole we're driving to town.
That's what I mean. Same with the beachcomber, though. Both parcels
are
gateways, and they have anything goes commercial county zoning right now.
And we don't have to accept the county zoning when we annex them.
Right.
We make it R2.
Right.
So he wants to be annexed.
He has to be.
He has to be.
He has to be. So we just have
to do it. The other land is vacant, so it doesn't matter. Here's your new town hall.
Beach cover?
Plenty of seating.
I've never been in there.
Was in, I think Prosper and I, one time years ago, we first moved here, we were going to go to Market Street to eat. They were closed for some reason.
I'll tell you.
We walked all the way out there.
I used to go there weekly, I think. I love the place.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order? Not entertain a motion to...
Wait 1 second, Ken. I know we talked. I said it earlier. Do you want me to reach out to Cecilton and to Chesapeake City to set up a meeting?
No, I don't think so right now. Like, let's get what we want to do first, and then we have some targeted questions.
We can compare.
Yeah.
See what they've done.
Yeah, okay. Because okay. I think it's good to listen and hear what they're doing, and that would help with what we're thinking.
I mean, yeah, really, in my opinion, it could go either way. You know, ultimately, we're going to have, whether we change zoning regulations or do a comp plan amendment, we're going to have a public hearing. And way before that time, we should know what we want to do.
Yep.
And we're going to need, I always like getting different opinions from different colleagues. Different towns.
We could just meet with them on the side somewhere.
So how are we going to meet and address both open
meeting? The mayor of Chesapeake City actually works at APG and he's open to meet in the evenings. I have not talked to Cecilton yet.
But we could do.
With meeting, it doesn't have to be in person. We can do what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Right. It just can't be a quorum we can't be a quorum.
Yeah. I think where Ken's getting at, Renee, is
how do we have a meeting?
Yeah, this planning commission's got to have like a work session, you know, not wait every month soon. To start working on this. And it'll end up being a public meeting, basically.
It's not the fact that we're trying to duck the Open Meeting Act. It's
talking about is meeting with the other two towns just to get ideas to help with what I know, what we know, what we think we know, but it would be good to talk to them prior to having that work meeting, because then we can say, hey, these are good ideas. It's better to borrow ideas than it is to totally start from scratch.
Do they already have a Dollar General?
I think we could do kind of both at the same time.
Two towns already. General Dollar General.
Cecilton has the Dollar General.
They do.
Yes.
Renee, I mean, on your every other Monday, I could reach out to Chesapeake City and Cecilton and just see if we could.
Chesapeake City said that they're fine to meet in the evening sometime. I'm sure Cecilton could too. So it's either way, it works.
We'll talk with their staff. I think we could talk during the day.
Okay. But the mayor of Chesapeake City said he wanted to talk to us to let us know.
We can invite him to our next planning commission meeting.
Uh-huh. We could.
Seriously, it's still kind of the same time frame.
Yeah. We can invite both of them to come to it and say, all right, listening to ideas, or they can chime in through Zoom.
Just say, hey, what did you guys do?
Yes.
Yeah. And I could reach out to them ahead of time and say, hey, here's what we're thinking. You know, maybe could you just give us like a little 5-10 minute presentation on what you did?
That I would agree to that. I'm just a big proponent on, instead of starting from total scratch, if another town has been doing it, we should look at what they have and then adopt what we want to what, you know.
Right. You're right. You know, this is like you have two things that are trying to get down the road at the same time. We don't know what we want.
Because
we haven't talked about it. We haven't met about it.
And what has worked for them might work for us.
Well, we're indulging on it, Renee.
Okay.
So, have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. 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 We're adjourned. Aye.